Hey there, friend. This is Stephanie Crevins, and you are listening to the Hot Mess Hotline, where we share with leaders who are ambitious and want to one day be in the C-suite how to get there through the strategies and the teachings and the conversations that we have here. Today's episode is a bit of a change up from what we usually cover. And I did a training on onboarding programs recently for a statewide nonprofit group. And frankly, this applies to all businesses. And so I thought you could learn from this as well. So I'm going to provide this content for you here. This is the first of three in a series. And in this episode, we're going to dig into why an onboarding program is so impactful and how you need to rethink it. So let's go.
So this is what I've crafted for us as our agenda. We've already covered introductions. We know each other. We know what's going on in each other's lives. We're good there. And so we're going to talk about why is onboarding important, you know, and the truth is creating a great orientation is one step of creating a great onboarding process that is in a longer time frame. And so I wanted to share with you all how to think about onboarding versus orientation, the difference, and how you can stack orientation into onboarding to give the employee a richer experience and the broader benefits that it brings to the entire organization. So we'll talk about purpose, events, topics to include, some big picture questions to answer for those folks going through orientation, who needs to be involved. And then I'm going to transition to talk about how to train adults to make it more likely that it's going to stick through your onboarding, because teaching adults and helping them learn is way different than teaching children. But unfortunately, most of us only have the experience of going through K through 12 or even college and master's, and the way we were taught does not work for how we teach adults in the workplace, but that's our only model. So I want to bring you some new tools for your toolkit there when you're teaching your colleagues and onboarding them to your organization and how things run around your agency. And then we'll also talk about how to make it fun and ensure retention in the long term. Just a little bit of that at the end, and that will be up for you to design. And then, of course, we'll do reflection and action planning. As Val knows, action planning is very, very important to me, because if you don't take this information and put it into practice, it's of no use to any of us. So I do feel a responsibility to help you take what you've learned today and implement it in your agency in the way that makes sense. With that being said, I want to just set this whole training up as, but basically to say, I am a coach first and a trainer second. What that means is I'm not going to give you all the answers today. I've got three folks and three different roles in three different agencies. I'm going to give you a broad set of information, some strategies you can use, and then it's on you to ask me questions and ask your colleagues questions about how to implement it and make it the right practice for your agency and where your agency's at today and where it wants to head. Because if I were to give you an entire checklist and all the things that you have to do to create a really great onboarding program, and I were to say, okay, here's what you have to do, go do it, you might retain and implement maybe 30% of it. But if I say, hey, here are the strategies, here are the questions you need to ask yourself and your colleagues to create an onboarding program to meet your needs, you're more likely to implement about 70% of it. I'm here for the 70% of it. That's why I don't give you directions. I give you strategies. I give you perspectives. I give you questions so that you can make it your own. That is different than a training that's going to tell you A, then B, then C, then D, then E, then F. I'm going to say, think about the first third of the alphabet, then think about the middle third of the alphabet, and then think about putting the last third of the alphabet, putting those all together in a way that makes sense for you. All right, so orientation on onboarding. I always find it very, very helpful to start with level setting, definition setting, make sure we're having the same conversation when we're using different words. And so orientation is one step in the process. It is usually a one and done type of training on any certain topic. And it's usually within the first day, week, or month potentially, but it usually only happens once. It's usually on a specific topic, and it's either super broad or it's super deep, or it's deep. There's either breadth or depth, but not both of a certain topic. And it's kind of this one and done mentality. The same logic that I think we oftentimes apply to, okay, come in and make sure, you know, for the I-9, bring your driver's license or your social security card or your passport or, you know, whatever that combo is. You guys know that combo better than I do. But the magical combo, right? Like you sit down, you do it, it's done. And I think we tend to, in our organizations, apply that same logic to our training topics. Okay, you got to meet with the CFO, one and done. You got to meet with the CEO, one and done. You got to meet with this peer, one and done. There's definitely value to it, but we need to add in some longevity to our programs to really help people learn and truly get on board, which means being able to engage and motivate themselves in the job and in the organization through repetition and more long-term planning. That's what onboarding is. A true onboarding experience lasts 18 months. According to HR research, employees are not onboarded to their job until 18 months. They don't have the full understanding of the clarity, the compliance, the culture, and the connection for that long because they kind of need to go through a business year and a half cycle, if you will, you know, kind of see multiple aspects of their role a couple different times before everything starts to click. People are not 100% competent at their job or have the ability to be 100% competent at their job till 3 years in. 3 years is when we can expect 100% competency in their role. What do we do? We do a week of orientation, and at 6 months, we expect them to be fully up to speed on everything they need to do in their job. It's just not humanly possible. And I'm not saying you all are doing that. I'm saying the human tendency and the folks that I get to work with tend to think, oh, well, I trained you on that. You need to have that done. You need to understand that. You need to comprehend it fully. They learn through repetition, practicing it, talking about it, putting it into practice.
All right, well, let's take a break. We're going to come back. All right, well, we take a quick break from this amazing conversation today. I want to share with you a new tool that I have for you. I think that there's a myth in our workplaces. Well, let me say this. I know there's a myth in our workplaces that meetings have to suck, and I don't believe that whatsoever. By all accounts, our time in meetings have doubled, if not more, since the start of the pandemic, and this time with your colleagues should not be a waste of time. It should be the most valuable. So if you're looking for more resources to lead meetings that are productive, powerful, impactful, and have everyone participating, get over to my website at stephaniecrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings and get some new tools so that when you leave a meeting with your colleagues, you're not left going, what the actual F was that? You're going, yes, we're going to take on the world together. Let's get this done because it was an unbelievably powerful meeting. Those tools are out there for you, my friends, and they're on my website today, stephaniecrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings. Now, let's get back into that conversation.
So an 18-month onboarding program focuses on compliance, clarity of role, clarity of organization, clarity of work, culture. You know, what are the norms and the values that make up how we do and why we do what we do here? And then the connection to the role, connection to the manager, connection to peers, connection to direct reports, connection to other programs. And an onboarding program has repetition built into it. It goes both broad and deep on topics, not either or, broad and deep. And if you think about it, because the employee knows more about the culture and how things are really done and their job, as you repeat it, more things start to click into place in their brain. So they're actually able to make sense of what they're learning. Think back to when you joined your agency and someone said, hey, it's really important that you follow this process. And you're like, okay, I'll follow that process because they said it's important. Doesn't mean it made sense to you. Maybe you just did it. You just complied because you were told to comply. You're like, all right. 6 months, 18 months into your job, you're like, oh, now I get why this is important. Adults need the why it's important, and they can't learn the why it's important to them and their role and make sense of it for themselves until they experience the problem firsthand and get to then use that system or process to troubleshoot the situation. So in my research and preparing for our time together today, I pulled some stats that demonstrate why onboarding, not orientation, onboarding is an unbelievably good use of your time, because the ramifications are actually really, really expensive. So when you think about the fact that every role that you have turnover, every individual that you have turnover in your organization, the newest stats coming out, they cost your organization, your agency, 1.5 to 3 times that person's salary. Obviously, the longer they've been with you, the more expensive they are to replace because of their institutional knowledge, because of their knowledge of how to do the job, because of their relationships, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But regardless, if you have to start a new hire process over, it's still going to cost you about one to one and a half times that salary, even if that person leaves in 90 days because of the time that you've had invested in sourcing, recruiting and hiring and orienting and onboarding that person to the role. So here's some research that they did with candidates. 12% of employees, only 12% of their employees felt that their company did a great job with onboarding. For those employees that said their company did a great job, they were 3 times as likely to say they have the best job for them. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want an employee that says, I love this place, I love this job? And onboarding, a true onboarding experience, can contribute to that love of their job, which is a retention metric. Only 29% of new hires felt they were prepared and supported to excel in their new role. And that's because of a thorough onboarding program. 69% of employees are more likely to stay for 3 years or more if they experience great onboarding. Because remember, onboarding is zero day. It's actually like the time before they join with the pre-boarding through 18 months. That equips them to stay at least 3 years, if not longer. So we're increasing the length of stay with our employees by investing more in those initial 90 days, 6 months, 18 months that they're with us. And remember, they don't reach 100% competency till they've been with you for 3 years. So if you can use your onboarding to retain them for longer, you're increasing their value to the organization. New employees who went through a structured onboarding program were 58% more likely to be with the organization after 3 years. And then organizations with a standard onboarding process experience 50% greater new hire productivity, which means employees can add more value to organizations more quickly with more thorough onboarding. You all know people problems are expensive problems. They're probably what, 75-85% of your budget? That's what we're talking about here. If we can get folks onboarded more quickly and more thoroughly, they can add value to your agency that much more quickly. And I think what we have to remember when we think about onboarding is that the benefits go beyond the new hire. It's not all about the new hire. It's actually about creating alignment within your organization. And so what alignment means is when you can connect the dots between teams and departments and programs in your organization, that's alignment. Integration is when a department is all rowing in the same direction and all know the goals and are working towards them. That's integration. Alignment is when all of those departments are working together as well. And I know one of the number one complaints in our organizations is that there's too many silos. And so onboarding is a great way to break down silos inside of your organization too. And it's because of the variety of roles that should be involved in it. And so when we think about onboarding programs, the manager benefits from that onboarding program as well, because it forces them, if they're not doing it already, to collaborate with more roles inside of the organization and their department to create clarity, to create a consistent training for that new hire. It gives other employees the opportunity to train other employees and new hires, and being able to teach what you know to other people is actually a learning mechanism, and it helps the person who's doing the teaching retain 90% of that information in the long term. So when you're able to allow other employees to train other employees, both people are benefiting at the same time. It strengthens compliance because, again, if the person is teaching compliance, they better know how to comply. So it increases their retention. And it creates clarity because if there's any confusion in how a process is done or who holds what information or who owns what project, by creating an onboarding plan, you're also forcing the people involved in the plan to create clarity too and erase confusion. Again, it can go to alignment, and then it also demonstrates the agency's investment in people. Who doesn't want to know that their agency believes so much in them that they're trusting them to train new hires and that they're investing time in an onboarding program to make sure that those folks can contribute to their team as fast as possible? That demonstration of investment means so much to employees on a day-to-day basis. One of the number one feedback messages that I hear in the trainings that I do with my small businesses and my nonprofits that I work with is folks are unbelievably grateful that their organization would pay to have us there as an investment in them. Your onboarding program is the exact same type of investment. What direct report doesn't want to hear from their manager, "Hey, Sarah, I really trust you to teach this new person how to fill out the HRIS data. You've been in it. You're our go-to person. I know you're going to do a great job." Like, what an amazing thing to hear from your manager. So instead of thinking about what to do during onboarding, I have teed up this tool for you all for you to be able to answer these five big questions. You answer these questions for the new hire in the first 90 days. And the secret is you're going to rinse and repeat answering these questions from 90 days to 18 months, because that repetition is going to deepen their learning. And so by answering these five questions, you are able to then cover the four buckets that you need to through for a thorough onboarding program. Remember, the four buckets are compliance. So that's anything related to safety, regulations in your agency, HR compliance, legal compliance, policy compliance. Think about that in the broadest term possible. Then we've got clarification. And that means the employee understands what their role is and how it fits into the bigger picture and the day-to-day work within its department and the whole organization. Culture, so what are the values that this organization has and how do you live out those values? What are the behaviors associated with those values in your organization? Because lots of organizations might have a value of service, but it looks different from agency to agency. And then connection, so developing those personal relationships and information networks inside of an organization so they know who to go to for what and when and why is connection.
All right, my friend, so that covers why onboarding is different than orientation and why you need onboarding programs that are stronger and lengthier and cover more to build that connection, compliance, culture, all those different pieces to bring people into your company in the right way and get them up into competence that much faster. Next time, we're going to cover the five big questions you have to answer during your onboarding program. I'm just going to spoiler alert them for you right here, and then we'll dig in next time. What's most important to us here, and how are we impacting our community or our world or our clients? How do I contribute to the bigger picture? How do I contribute daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly? Who are the key people I work with and for? What does my future look like here? All right, I look forward to seeing you on the flip side. Now let's get back to work and do some really impactful work today. I'll see you soon, my friend.